Medical devices are an essential element of patient care. They're also network-connected devices that need resilient connectivity and security. On today's Tech Bytes, we examine the challenges of supporting and securing connected medical devices, including threats, vulnerabilities, and regulatory frameworks. We'll also discuss strategies and best practices to manage medical device risks and ensure the confidentiality of patient data. We're sponsored today by Palo Alto Networks, and our guest is Tapan Mehta, global leader, healthcare strategy, and solutions at Palo Alto Networks. Tapan, welcome to the podcast. So what are some of the trends you're seeing when it comes to the usage and adoption of connected medical devices?
When you look at the connected medical devices, it's an interesting area because if you look at these type of devices, first and foremost for the audience, you know, when you talk about medical devices, this includes everything from patient monitors, infusion pumps, portable modalities, typically you would see in a hospital, you would see in a patient room. Mm-hmm. And these devices are on the front lines of providing care. And they are a direct correlation to how an individual experiences the care they're receiving. And as such, it plays a very important role in driving the patient outcomes. And if you look at some of the underlying trends in the market, you know, the number of these devices are going to continue to proliferate. In fact, Gartner indicates that by 2030, you're going to have 1.3 billion of these devices in the environment. And in fact, a lot of these devices in a typical hospital setting outnumber the traditional IT devices that you have.
Oh, for sure. But not only is it the number of them, it's also the weirdness of them. Like you're talking about 15-year-old CAT scan machines.
Yes.
And the cost of replacing them is $2.5 million just for the machine. And it's $1 million to install it because you probably have to blow out a wall to be able to carry it out because
you're exactly right. I mean, you know, a lot of these, you know, are legacy devices. You know, they have a long shelf cycle and, you know, they are around for 10, 15 years. And in fact, you know, you'll find a lot of outdated OS running on these devices. And it's funny story that I have. And I was at a customer a few years ago, and I found the actual server that manages a lot of these devices sitting, I kid you not, underneath the front desk in the lobby.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how crazy is that?
Radiography, you'll often have a server under the desk in a scanning suite next door. So if you've got an X-ray machine, then there's quite often a server sitting under the desk running the administration suite or a bunch of servers nearby doing the scanning type of data. And the weird thing about them is they're so hard to secure because they're often like not inherently secure them. They're insecure, and trying to find a way to, you know, to make them secure is incredibly difficult in a medical environment where you can't go in and say, hey, this is insecure, you need to turn it off.
Yeah. And a lot of these, as we know, are regulated devices. So you are, you know, bounded by certain things that you can and cannot do. Some of the interesting stats that I've kind of, you know, found is when you just look at the medical imaging systems, right? All the DICOM systems, right? You mentioned CT machines or MRIs or PET machines. 83% of these DICOM systems or medical imaging systems are running end of life OS. So I'm like, you wonder, well, you know, how many times do we update our software on our iPhones or on our laptops, right? It's every few months.
So I guess there's two questions I wanted to ask about that is, you can't touch them. We probably know that they're vulnerable. We certainly have to assume they're vulnerable. How does Palo Alto Networks come up with a solution to be able to say, I can secure those? Because it's not immediately obvious how you would do that.
Yeah, I mean, there are many ways in terms of how one could go about securing these devices. But the first thing that we have to remember, in order to secure these devices, you need to know what you have in your environment. So that kind of goes to the visibility or device discovery and knowing, in essence, what is on my network. But a lot of times, organizations have no idea. You would have nurses hiding infusion pumps in the closets before the shift begins because they are going to need those infusion pumps and they don't want to spend time looking around or chasing one down. So they hide them. So what ends up happening is typically a hospital will end up over procuring those infusion pumps. In reality, they may need only 40, 50% of them at a given time. The rest is just floating around because people are hiding them in the closet.
Yeah. So there also may be mismatches with an inventory system.
Inventory system. And a lot of times, you know, when we talk with customers, when we ask them, hey, what type of devices you have in your environment, then they chuckle. Well, we know what we have, but there are a lot of them we have no idea what's in your environment, right? So to kind of going back to the question around, well, what does Palo Alto do? Is the first thing, you know, we have a solution called Medical IoT Security Solution, and this is a cloud delivered security service that can be consumed by customers. You know, it can run on any of our firewalls. It's agnostic, doesn't have to be you know, hardware firewall, software firewall, or SASE. In essence, customers would consume this by as a subscription service, and you turn it on, and it within a matter of minutes, it will start, you know, identifying the devices that are in your network. Now, I'm, you know, simplifying it because there's certain aspects that one needs to look at, but the starting point or the table stakes is having visibility mm-hmm. in these devices. And once you have visibility in these devices, then you can start doing the real stuff, which is around how do you secure them? How do you enforce policies? How do you really make sure that you have a closed loop system in terms of everything from visibility to segmentation and enforcing policies to driving automation, right? So these are all critical elements that one needs to think about as they think about securing devices. If somebody's telling you, hey, you know, you get visibility and you're good to go, that's not good enough. We're doing a disservice to our customers if that is the only thing that is being provided, because the reality is these devices, as we know, are extremely sophisticated and they're becoming smarter by day. And the level of technology and innovation that goes into these devices is going to continue to go up. So it is absolutely paramount that, you know, we provide organizations, healthcare organizations, the complete security and visibility.
I mean, the challenge for me is if you've got all of these weird devices in there, how do you fingerprint them, right? How do you identify them? Because you can scan for MAC addresses these days. You can scan for IP addresses and then resolve a MAC address. And then you can do, I mean, how do you go through a network like a medical network, like a hospital network, and start fingerprinting devices safely? And then how do you identify them? How does this fingerprint identification, like, how can you say that's a blood pump, that's a blood pressure cuff, that's a blood pump, you know, or that's a CAT scan type stuff? How do you know that?
Yeah, great question. And there are multiple, you know, ways we do that. And you kind of touched on a couple of things, right? And they're different attributes, as I should say. You can look at the MAC address, you can look at the IP address, you can look at the log data, you can look at the network traffic that is traversing from point A to point B. And what we do is once you have those multiple different attributes, we have, through our medical IoT security solution, we have harnessed our AI ML algorithms that is constantly monitoring these different attributes. And it's a passive behavior monitoring, so nothing to worry about on that front.
So what you're saying is you can scan for the device, look at the MAC address, but then you can also look at the types of traffic that it's generating in the network, because Palo Alto is going to be able to see the packets going through a security device or through the network at some point. Is that right? And
that
you're going
right.
to be able to fingerprint it and say, oh, yeah, I recognize that or it, because I've got enough data across the globe, because you're a global company, you're collecting data from everywhere. You go say, is that the sense here?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And we have access to a lot of data. We crowdsource a lot of the data, right? So we can leverage that crowdsource data. We can leverage these different ingestion points through the algorithms. And that gives us, you know, a 95% plus confidence saying, hey, that device is a GE X-ray machine, or that device is a Walsh-Allen patient monitor. But that is definitely, you know, one of the ways where we can identify with a high level of accuracy what those devices are in the environment.
Right.
What about devices that are mobile? Obviously, you know, a CAT scanner, an MRI is not moving around the hospital, but an infusion pump could, a device, some other medical scanner could. So how do you track them as they move around the physical campus?
Yeah, I mean, this is all, a lot of the traffic, not a lot, all of the traffic for the most part is going to traverse through a firewall that a healthcare organization has deployed in their environment, right? And again, it could be in the cloud, it can be a physical firewall. And because we are really looking at the traffic that is going through our firewall, the location of these devices, as you mentioned, the mobile devices, is it doesn't matter as much, as long as, you know, our firewalls are positioned architecturally in the right perimeter. So in the east-west traffic corridor, we can capture the traffic. Or for the large part, you will also have customers sitting, having firewalls placed in the north-south corridor through the core data center where we're capturing traffic, right? So you're going to have your core that where the data is going to go through. So we will have covered both these corridors and allowing us to capture the traffic and kind of watching the behavior of these devices, regardless of where they're moving around. Now, there are instances where sometimes we may not see it and we may have to do, you know, DHCP traffic. We may have to do, you know, span the ports. So there, there are techniques that we can deploy if we say, hey, we have only 95% of the devices that we are seeing and the other 5%, we have to try something different. So we do have those mechanisms available to definitely try to capture those devices.
So you've got the identity part. What about securing the devices part? Because if we're dealing with, as you mentioned, you know, end-of-life operating systems, there's probably lots of vulnerabilities out there. They're exploitable and they are connected to a network, but often you can't put software agents on them. So where does the protection element come in?
Yeah, it's a great question. You're exactly right. Because these are regulated devices, because these could be class one or class two devices, you know, one cannot really, you know, muck around with the OS because that's just by the, you know, by the nature of those devices. So we have different means whereby we can push the policy enforcements onto our firewalls, and those policy enforcements will allow the user to manage those CVEs or vulnerabilities that they may see in their environment.
There's a key here. You're actually saying that once you fingerprinted these devices, you can actually then correlate them to known CVEs and then start to say to people, I recognize this device as vulnerable in this way. Therefore, you should do something about that.
Exactly. And in fact, we go a step further. Not only we provide those insights to the users, we will actually stack rank those CVEs from a priority standpoint, you know, high, medium, low, because as one would expect, there are hundreds of vulnerabilities that you may see through these thousands of these devices, and it would be nuts, you know, if you're kind of looking at all of them saying, hey, these are all real. So what we do is we assign a risk score to these devices and the behaviors and the CVEs, whereby you can really focus on the high or medium and the rest you can, you know, look at it at some another time. So you're really giving, you know, a more refined way of prioritizing of how you go about, you know, mitigating these vulnerabilities that you have through these devices.
And I'm also going to assume, since we're, it sounds like we're, that the firewall is a primary focus here, I presume Palo Alto is able to set up rules to say, this type of medical device should only access, say, you know, our storage network, and then, you know, a known good, maybe a manufacturer server to get new updates and so on.
Shouldn't be connecting to a Russian server.
Right. It shouldn't be, it shouldn't be opening up an HTTP connection. It shouldn't be going out these ports and so on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it's interesting because we will actually, through the medical IoT security solution, flag, you know, if all of a sudden one fine day you have a DICOM system talking to a server in some remote part of the world, like, oh, that's interesting. And, you know, the solution will send an alert based on the policy that has been set up. Hey, you may want to check this because this device all of a sudden is starting to correspond with the server that didn't exist until yesterday. And on the flip side, you may have certain anomalous behavior in your environment, which may be okay, depending on where the, you know, destination is. So you can kind of set a rule to override that, saying it is okay for this X-ray machine to talk with this server in Iowa, you know, where we have our data center, right? That may be okay. So that way you're not being flagged for a perfectly normal behavior. So you kind of get best of both worlds in making sure, you know, how the traffic is behaving. And it also, you can look at the blast radius. So if you, if the device is compromised, you know, what is the ramifications in terms of the damage potentially? Because
now there's a lot of ways to do this, but this is very doable if you're with your existing, if you have Palo Alto networks equipment in here, you can basically just start turning this stuff on, right? There's this sort of part of XSIAM and the Prisma capabilities?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the beauty is, as I mentioned, it's a cloud delivered security services. If you're a Palo Alto customer today, you just turn it on.
Yeah.
And it in a matter of minutes, it starts, you know, picking up the traffic and starts identifying the devices in your environment.
There's definitely more here we could talk about, but we are at the end of our time. So thank you, Tapan, and thank you, Palo Alto Networks, for being a sponsor. If you're interested in learning more, Palo Alto Networks is having a hands-on workshop on March 21st over Zoom. There will be a link to that in the show notes that accompany this podcast. They're going to have experts on hand to show you how to achieve comprehensive zero trust security for medical devices. And you'll learn how to do things like accurately discover all connected devices, protect your healthcare organization from known and unknown threats, automate policy creation with one-click enforcement, and improve patient outcomes with focused operational insights. So again, that's a workshop on March 21st, and you can find the link in the show notes that accompanies this podcast, along with other links from Palo Alto Networks. Thanks again for joining us. As always, you can find many more fine free technical podcasts and our community blog all at packetpushers.net. You can follow us on LinkedIn. You can hear us on Spotify and rate us on Apple Podcasts. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.